Why are you running?
I'm running in opposition to the 32% tax increase that was signed in with the budget bill last July. Cost my family about $1,200, so I can look across the board and see what it costs families. And the biggest thing I see was that there was no reform within the budget, you know, to fix it long term. So I'm looking to repeal it and have some long term solutions to fix the financial woes of the state.
What sort of fixes would you be looking for?
Well, I think you have to start with, you know, the things such as tackling the pension reform. You know, the pensions continue to increase. We have to look at moving forward, possibly starting with a 401k for new employees of the state, making it a self-managed plan, you know, where the state puts in their contribution and then the individual puts their contribution in. And it would give the individual the control of the plan and, you know, take it out of the state's hands.
Would that require a constitutional amendment to change the pension system?
There would have to be a constitutional amendment, I believe, to make that change. But it's something I think that's worth fighting for, you know, to benefit the state, you know, long term. I'm looking for long term solutions, not Band-Aids.
How do you think that would benefit the state in the long run?
Well, it's going to give it financial security, and it's going to put the plan. It's going to reassure, number one, it's going to reassure the individual that's working for the state that their retirement's going to be there. Right now, I feel that we're promising something that may not be there, you know, when they retire. And I think we need to really take a look at that and, you know, evaluate and try to make the changes so, you know, we're taking care of our state workers and making sure that they're getting their pensions when they retire.
If you were to repeal the income tax increase that was approved in July, would you like to see that replaced with something such as a graduated income tax?
And I'm not in form of any graduated income tax. I think we need to lower our taxes. We need to build our tax base by getting people to move back into the state. You know, Illinois used to be a destination state. Recently, we dropped from 5th to 6th in population because of people fleeing to our border states to take better jobs and have better opportunities. I'd like to see our tax base increased, you know, by people moving in, lower the corporate tax so companies can feel better about, you know, bringing corporations in here. And then you throw workman's comp reform in there as well. You know, you have to have jobs for people to come, you know, and want to stay here.
Would that decrease the revenue the state takes in? And if so, how would you adjust the budget?
Well, if you're building your tax base by making it affordable for people to live here, you're adding to the tax base. You're adding to the revenue just through tax dollars of people moving into the state. Again, I come back to getting people to come back in. And, you know, the trend is still continuing downward. In the past 90 days, we've lost the Pioneer Plan in Good Hope. We just got news that the care facility there in Abingdon, the Abingdon Care Center, is closing. You know, those are jobs that are leaving the market and leaving those two communities, you know, and that's a trend throughout the state that we have to reverse.
What would you say is the biggest challenge facing the 93rd Legislative District?
I would say the biggest thing it would be jobs. You know, keeping people here, it's, you know, kind of the statewide issue. You know, the population trend is going in the wrong direction for where we need to be as a state. You know, as a father of five, I want to work hard so my children will stay here, you know, and there's something for them to stay here for, you know, as they grow and, you know, start their own family someday. I want to fight for that. And we need to continue to build that tax base up, get people to come back into the district and the state likewise.
What type of jobs do you think could be brought to this region?
Well, manufacturing would be one. I mean, we used to be, you know, especially up in, you know, I'm speaking from experience in Knox County, we used to have Maytag and Butler. And when those closed down in the early 2000s, you know, that was a big hit to the community. And we need to bring in more manufacturing jobs, you know, such as those throughout the district to provide jobs so people can have that income to stay here.
Are those days over, though, of large manufacturing plants employing a lot of people? Don't some of those plants rely at least somewhat on automation?
Well, I think the plan is only over if we give up on it. And, you know, if it's worth fighting for, which I think our state is, that's why I choose to live here, because it is worth fighting for. You know, if we continue to fight for those opportunities, make it reasonable for those companies to come in here, you know, and so they can financially, you know, afford to do it, it's worth fighting for.
During the 2-year state budget impasse, higher education took a financial hit. What, if anything, do you think should be done to stabilize funding for public higher education?
Well, the stabilization with that higher education comes with the budget being stabilized. And, you know, I think you have to look at the entire budget as a whole. You know, higher education is a valued part of our state, but there are many components that go along with it. And I think if our state budget is stabilized and we've built that tax base back up, you know, everything else is going to fall into play. But we can't continue to tax people. You know, we can't continue to raise the taxes and expect people to want to stay here. And we can't continue to tax people and expect our students to want to stay in school here with the high tuition costs that keep going up.
But wouldn't we still be without a budget if it were not for the income tax increase?
Well, I would say that we passed a budget that wasn't balanced. We were already at a deficit moving forward in 2018 beforehand. So we put a Band-Aid on a life-threatening wound with the expectation that it was going to fix it long-term. But we didn't fix it. We have to look at long-term solutions, in my opinion, for this state to get back on the right track.
What would be a long-term solution for addressing the overdue bills and the interest the state owes on those overdue bills?
Well, again, I would say, you know, you have to take a hard look at where our money is going out. There's some hard decisions that are going to have to be made as far as when you're looking at that money. I would look at some of the schools up in the Chicago area where there could be some consolidation of administrators, not consolidation of schools, but, you know, move those administrators back into teaching roles and have one administrator, cut down on some salaries, and hopefully put some money back into the budget that we could pay some of those bills off.
Do you think there should be more consolidation of schools in your district, downstate here, maybe countywide schools?
I don't think so. I think, you know, where we're at right now, I can speak from, you know, we just went through a school consolidation 5 years ago, and it was a benefit to both communities, I believe, that those schools were consolidated. But I don't see a need, you know, in the short term or in you know, the near long term, you know, for any consolidation within the 93rd.
And that would be Abingdon, Avon, you're talking about the consolidation?
Yes, sir. We went through a consolidation in 2013.
How do you feel that is working?
The consolidation has been great. It's brought the two communities together. I could say that I have friends now that I would not have had just through different events, sporting events and different programs. It's really brought us together.
Do you think the state should legalize recreational marijuana?
I do not. You know, I'm very conservative in my values. I've seen what marijuana has done in a family member and the slippery slope that it took her down on and opened it up a gateway for other, you know, other use. I would not support that.
What about do you feel there is a culture of sexual harassment in Springfield?
I do. You know, I had a statement about 2 or 3 months ago talking about the IG position that went unfilled for over 3 years. I think during that time frame, there was 27 complaints that had kind of piled up. And I called for transparency to come out of that. You know, I think too often we turn a blind eye, you know, because we know people. But that's not the way that's not the way you do things. I try to do everything in my life, you know, in a transparent manner. Everything I do, when I introduce myself to people, I give them my cell phone number, I give them my information, because I want to be accessible to the people. And I think our legislators down in Springfield should be the same way. They should be transparent. If there's issues, they need to be brought to light, and there needs to be investigations that that come from it. And, you know, if those individuals did what they did, there needs to be some reckoning for that.
Should there be any legislation to address the issue?
I think number one, we have legislation because we have within the Constitution, we have that IG position, you know, that is filled. As long as they're doing their part and doing, you know, what their responsibilities are, I don't think that we need new legislation regarding that. It's common sense. You treat people as you want to be treated.
What about as far as campaign funding your campaign? How's that? Are you finding that difficult? It seems like it's getting more and more expensive to run for public office in this country. So what are your thoughts on that?
As far as personally, you know, I've been able to raise right under $10,000. I have had some support from some PACs who have helped and, you know, support me, and I'm very thankful for that. But it is a challenge to raise money when you're running for office.
Are those PACs in the district, or are they from outside the district?
The PACs that have supported me have been from outside the district. The Liberty Principles PAC has been very good in supporting my campaign. And I guess that's the only one that's really financially supported me, but I have been endorsed by a couple other conservative organizations, the Illinois Family Action, and then Taxpayers United, two conservative organizations that have also endorsed me as well.
Do you feel you would be beholden to PACs or, that help you financially?
Personally, no, because where I stand on my values, I'm not shaken. You know, by anybody else. I didn't do this because anybody said, I want you to do this. I did this because I have a passion for the state of Illinois. I have a desire to see my kids stay here. And I know that may, you know, may sound selfish, but, you know, someday when my kids have their own kids, I want to see my grandkids. And I want to fight for that right. So I'm not giving to anybody. I am who I am. You know, I'm a conservative, you know, fiscally and socially. And I don't apologize for that. So that's just, I guess, would sum it up. I'm not giving to anybody.
What you mentioned how the income tax hike is what spurred you to decide to run for this office. Can you talk about that, I guess, just a little bit more? Was that an immediate decision, or how much thought did you give to this?
Well, it wasn't an immediate decision. When it passed in July, I remember anxiously waiting to see my first paycheck and to see, you know, how much was going to come out. I want to say it was about 10 days before I saw it, might have been 2 weeks. But I was pretty angry with it. And, you know, as it just resonated, you know, between that July time frame to September, so about 60 days, I guess, you know, would be the time frame, I began to really seek and say, you know, is this something that I, you know, would want to do? And, of course, we announced in October. And, you know, it's kind of been 100 miles an hour since then.
Your opponent in the primary voted in favor of the income tax hike. Is that part of your thinking then, too? If she had voted the other way, would you still be running?
If she would have voted the other way, I probably wouldn't be running. I stand on the party principles. I stand on limited government, lower taxes. She claimed the same thing, and then the first chance she got, she voted for the tax increase. And it was a massive tax increase, in my opinion, 32%. And again, I come back to not fixing anything long term. You know, we put a Band-Aid on something and expected results.
Did the state not need a Band-Aid at this time, though, having gone 2 years without a budget?
I don't think it needed a Band-Aid. Again, you're talking something that's permanent. They put a permanent tax increase, you know, to fix something that they didn't fix. You know, if there would have been some reforms with it, would there have been some changes with it, you know, it may have been a little bit more bearable. But to raise the taxes and not fix anything, I was not in support of.
I think one of the reforms you mentioned earlier was workers' compensation. Why do you think that is important?
I think it's important. I manage a roofing company, so I see what we pay yearly in workman's comp, just insurance alone, and it is outrageous. It's hard for a company to survive when you're paying such high rates, you know, and there has to be some reform within it so it's more affordable, so these smaller companies and even larger companies can afford, you know, to stay, you know, in business.
Have you run for public office before?
I've never run for any public office before, not even student council in school. This is the first attempt, and I'm just a guy who loves this state, loves to serve people. I'm a servant-minded individual, and I want to do my part.
What about these past few months then? What have you learned? Has there been anything that's really opened your eyes as you've jumped into this and run for public office?
It's just been a neat experience. Probably knocked on anywhere from 2,500 to 3,000 doors since we started this campaign in October and met with thousands of people, you know, in different events. And just to hear their stories, to hear where they're at, to get to know folks. I've sat down in their living rooms and on their couches and just got to know them. To me, that's been a very rewarding experience. because it gets you out of, you know, your own little county. And, you know, when you talk about the district is eight counties wide. And, you know, I was down in Manitou and I had a couple invite me in, just had a great conversation with them. Same thing down in Mason City, had lunch with a gentleman down there. Just a great experience to get to know, you know, different walks of life, I guess.
Have you talked much at all with leaders of higher education in the district who I believe would tell you they needed that cash coming in that was approved last July?
I haven't had the opportunity to speak with any leaders per se. Kind of my focus has been just knocking on doors, getting to know people, getting to know what their needs are. So I have not had the chance to meet anybody, you know, what I would call in high leadership.
So why should someone vote for you in the Republican primary?
I think they should vote for me. I'm a hardworking, servant-minded individual. I'm not a career politician, and I'm not going to be shaken by the career politicians in Springfield. I have a strong voice, and I, you know, like I said, I'm transparent. I want to represent the district. This is the people's seat. I want to work hard for them and make it affordable so people could live here. You know, I want to keep our schools open. I want to keep our universities open. And I want to bring businesses here so we're increasing our tax base and getting back to being a destination state again.
All right. That should do it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.